Yeah, you better have. Sometimes I close my Bible and keep preaching. It messes everything up. When I close my Bible, that signals a series of events. Joy starts texting. She starts looking at her phone and figures out when to bring the kids back. And I never get it right. So we're working on it. I used to look at Joy all the time when I was preaching, and I got more and more discouraged. I stopped looking at her because she's so pretty. And wasn't good to see her scowling. Well, today in our scripture, we heard about the Word of God coming to John. I want to just focus on that, highlight that today, and talk about when the Word of God comes. When the Word of God comes. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your enduring and everlasting Word. And as it comes to us today, as we're confident through the Holy Spirit, your Word will come alive for each of us. We pray that you will have your business with us today. That we will hear from you, that human voice if necessary, but certainly through your written scripture. God, open our hearts to receive your words. In Jesus' name, amen. So just to highlight the scripture that we had earlier from Luke 3, verse 2. And that was a lot of little strange words in that passage, wasn't it? I'm sorry to do that to you. I didn't know it was going to be you. I thought it'd be somebody I could laugh at, but I didn't want to. The writers of scripture were very intent on isolating and narrowing down, identifying the source of their word, and locating it in place and history, time. Giving names and places and dates are very important. Who was ruling, where they were living. And so that's why we often have these lists of words that can be quite confusing to say. But the scripture was clear in verse 2 that during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Now, John, the son of Zechariah, is none other than Jesus' cousin. And they had a shared timeline. They also had a very similar age. And so John and Jesus probably knew each other and encountered each other out in the wilderness in different places in the life of their kind of ascetic lifestyle. And Jesus had a lot, of course, he was hearing from God, and so did John. But John was ready to be a herald, to be a messenger at Christmas for the birth of Christ. And it says that this word of God came to John in the wilderness. And his response was in verse 3, he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. In other words, he went out to proclaim the arriving kingdom of God and saying, repent, turn around, change your mind, go another way, and be baptized. Repent of your sin and be baptized. Before we can talk about the Word of God coming, we have to kind of come to agreement on what the Word of God is. The Word of God primarily is Scripture. If we want to hear from God's Word, we have to open God's book and see the Scriptures, the words that God has given us. We know that the Word of God is Scripture. It is God's speaking voice. We know that when John heard the Word of God, it's linked in the Scripture to the path from the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. It's God's speaking voice. John heard this voice. In 2 Timothy 3:16, the scripture says about scripture, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And what good would it be to be scripture if it wasn't true? The word of God is truth. And 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. We don't go for long in our Christian life experiencing the word of God before we come to this startling realization that the word of God is also living. The word of God is alive. The word of God, well, let's look at Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's word, when it's rightly before us, when we're rightly meditating on it, it comes to life and it brings division into our thought process. It divides up the chaff from the wheat, it down to the bone and the marrow, as if we were cutting a fine piece of meat, how a butcher would know exactly how to cut and separate and get the best cuts. The word of God is living when we allow it to come to life in us. And since the word of God is truth and the word of God is living, this living and true word that came to John, again, was from the book of Isaiah, the words of Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. This word came to John. And he knew, because God's call was on his life, this word was to him. You go. You prepare the way of the Lord. John, you're the herald. You're the one. You're the announcer. Go and proclaim to make the way straight. Now see, sometimes in the movement of monarchs and royalty in those days, they'd send out the CBs and the Army Corps of Engineers. And, well, something similar. And their job was to make the way straight. It wasn't going to be any chance of ambush or, you know, that thugs would be along the way to disturb the royal party. They were going to make the low spots where the chariots could pass. They were going to raise those up, and they were going to take some of the hills down. It was a big undertaking when royalty came their way. And so this imagery here is when the Lord comes, you be sure you make his ways straight. Raise the low spots, take off the high spots. This is the God of creation, your King. My favorite scripture is John 1. And it takes this word of God to another level. And I want to just take 14 verses there and have you enter it with me. John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then we see John's entry here. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world. And the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In this passage, first we see verse 1 that the Word of God, when it comes, it is God himself. That the Word of God is coming and it is God. The Word comes from God and the Word is God. And then we learn that the Word creates. You know that we see God spoke. God said, let there be. God's speaking voice created. And we see here that Jesus was the speaking voice of God. That nothing was created without Jesus. The living Word. The Word of God created. The Word of God still to this day creates. As God says, let there continue to be. And these things continue to come into being. That Word is Jesus Christ. We go back to verse 14. The Word of God became flesh. So this is the incarnation. This is in the when you go in the Mexican restaurant and you order something that says carne. I don't know any Spanish, but I know that means that's the meat dish. I want the meat. And so when something is incarnate, it is in fleshed. It is in meat. This is God in a meat sack. Incarnate Jesus, incarnate God has come. This is the incarnation and this is Christmas. This is the coming of the Word in flesh. And so Jesus himself is the Word of God. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. You see, the Word that came to John was his cousin. It was the very eternal God. It was the Word of God. And I've neglected on purpose to say the last verse from Isaiah, the Luke 3 passage. Because verse 6 says from Isaiah, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. When the Word came to John, the Word was, all flesh is going to see salvation. And today, because it's true, and because it's living, and because it is salvation, because it is Jesus Christ, today the Word comes to us. And like John, we carry a message about this Word that is able to divide soul and body. We hear a word that says today, repent. And just as Jesus has come into the world, Jesus is coming again. And just as it was so important in that time, it is just as important now for each one of us, you and me, to become heralds of the good news. This coming of Jesus, yes, at Christmas, but again, in glory, he will come. And let the world receive her King, right? Let the world be prepared. Make the way straight. I hope that you receive the Word today as John received it, as an invitation to go and proclaim the good news, the coming of the King. And the coming of the Word made flesh. In a world that wants to shape the words of God according to its own image, Let us be constantly reminded that the Word of God is the standard by which we are shaped. Indeed, the entirety of eternity is shaped on God's Word. And God has spoken about its beginning, and He has spoken about its wrapping up and its beginning again. And you are the messengers. Are you hearing the Word of God? I'm going to keep going. A church that is not growing doesn't have any evangelism to speak of. Its people aren't sharing the good word. For Walnut Grove to be growing, to be alive and be active, its word must be God's word. And it must be among us. Let's take some time right now to take some silence and just think about how we might allow God's word to enter us and go into the world through us this Advent.